Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we will close out our subject, the varied ministry of the Spirit of God. And that is to, of course, the church. And today we wish to entitle our message, The Spirit as Our Translator. This is also found in that wonderful 8th chapter of Romans. In verse 11 there we read, But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. The Spirit is dwelling in us, and the last service of the Spirit to a living saint of God is indeed when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, is to quicken our bodies. And He'll quicken our bodies, even those that are dead, before the rapture of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is, after the rapture of our Lord Jesus Christ. We will see that in the course of our study today. Now, let's define our term a little better. What do we mean by the Spirit as our translator? Well, a translator must have power. In the dictionary, the translator indeed is spoken of, first of all, as a translator of languages. He must have the ability, the power, to transfer the thoughts and words from one language to another. Now, also in my Webster's Collegiate Dictionary, it also has an ecclesiastical definition. And I want to read that. The translator of persons must have the power to transfer from one form of life into another, and Webster's dictionary puts it this way, to take up into heaven without death. And that is going to occur at the rapture of the church. Now, this is His last service to us as we live in this world here below. Now, the service, the Spirit will never leave us in the millennial reign of our Lord Jesus, or in eternity for that matter. But we're talking about His varied ministry to the saint of God right here on this earth. Now let's talk about the Trinity. All of them is involved in the resurrection. Now we noticed here in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now here we have the Trinity all involved in this one verse. Who raised Christ from the dead? His Father. And Christ took His own power in hand and raised Himself from the dead. And the Spirit is also mentioned. The Trinity is involved in resurrection. Here as elsewhere in the Scripture, the Father orders, the Son executes, and the Spirit is the power. This is perfectly balanced in the Trinity. I'm going to read that again. The Father orders, the Spirit executes, the Son executes, and the Spirit is the power. Now, the Father's part in the resurrection of Christ is this, and we're going to talk about His resurrection first, and then our resurrection. The Father's part in the resurrection of Christ, Galatians 1:1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised Him from the dead. We're talking about Christ's resurrection now. The Father raised Him from the dead. Now, the Lord Jesus' part in His own resurrection is found in John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay down my life of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. And in the very next chapter, the Lord Jesus Christ tells Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he turned around very soon afterwards. He raised Lazarus from the dead. Now the Lord Jesus raised Himself from the dead. He rose a victor over death. But what was the Spirit's part in the resurrection of Christ? Well, we read it in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For God also hath once suffered, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Now notice, please, that's the same language that's used in our resurrection, Romans 8 and 11. I'm going to read it again. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. He quickened the body of Christ, and he's going to quicken our bodies. So you see, the entire Trinity is involved in the resurrection of Christ, and the entire Trinity is involved in our resurrection. The Spirit is the power. Remember what we said? The Father orders, the Son executes, and the Spirit is the power. And he's going to use that power at the rapture of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's talk about the way that the Spirit is going to deal with us at that time of our rapture. Now, we know indeed that the Lord is, I think we should read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. Here we see the Son's part in the resurrection. Verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, as is asleep in Jesus, saints that have fallen asleep. Oh, they died, yes. But as far as Christ is concerned, they're only asleep. They're asleep in Jesus. And that is not just a euphemism. That is the truth. They are asleep in Jesus, and he has the power to awaken them. He has the voice that wakes the dead. Let's read on. But if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so also them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. Now notice, please, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now you notice the Lord shouted. We read in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 5 in the general resurrections, where our Lord Jesus said of himself, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. He hath given him authority to execute judgment also. You remember, the Father plans, the Father orders. He gives him the authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son. Marvel not at this. The hour is coming when, in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now the Lord is going to speak, and all dead are going to be raised at once. It's interesting to note that in our Lord's ministry here on earth, he raised three people from the dead. And he, in each instance, addresses the person to whom he is raising from the dead. He is specific in his ministry. He was that way. He says, Lazarus, come forth. Now, had he not done that and just spoken that in a general sense, be raised from the dead, all the dead of all ages will have been raised from the dead. But he is very specific. That is just one of the little refinements of the scripture. All right, let's now talk about the Spirit's part, and that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. When our Lord Jesus Christ comes and shouts, there's going to be the voice of the archangel, there's going to be the trump of God, three audible sounds. Something happens. The dead in Christ rise first. Now, Paul describes it in the 15th chapter of the book of First Epistle to Romans, starting with verse 51. Here it is. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. That's translation. Translating from one form of life to the other, from the corruptible to the incorruption. And then he says, verse 54, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is swallowed, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now here we have the Spirit going to work and changing our bodies. Now the Spirit indwells us. We've already developed that subject in our series of studies on the varied ministry of the Spirit of God to you and me in this life. We've already covered that subject. All right, now he dwells in us. The power is resident within us. It's just like the miner who drills back in the hard rock and he plants a charge of powder, dynamite, or TNT or whatever, and he lights a fuse. Now that fuse sets that cap off, that sets the power of that explosion off. Now here, the Spirit is dwelling within us, and at the last trump, when he hears that trump, that power within us is going to transfer us, translate us, into our resurrection bodies. That body that is without sin, that body that is immortal. And this mortal clay shall take on immortality. This is ahead of us. And this is going to come by the power of the Trinity. The Father telling Christ, claim your church. Christ calling them into existence by this call that he gives there in the fourth chapter, 1 Thessalonians. And then the Spirit conforming us to the very image of Christ, as we read in 1 John 3 and 2. Wonderful days ahead are ahead for the saint of God, and we should anticipate it, because the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ has a very, very salutary effect on our lives. When we realize that very soon, our ministry here is going to be ended, and we're going to stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ, then we will be indeed transformed into his image, right down here. How is it done? By the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Our Father, we thank you today. Bless this series of studies to our hearts of the Spirit of God, and help us appreciate him more and more. In Christ's name, amen.